nature. Let's pray and then let's sing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for everything that we were able to accomplish. Please put your good hand upon us and lead us, guide us, refresh us, chasten us, straighten us, encourage us, Lord. Please deliver us our daily bread this evening. I pray you too to be with all of our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they are, and please make them mindful of you at this particular time. Lord, please keep people's heads screwed on. Please keep them safe on the roads. Please, Lord, I pray you, be one of our number and bless this time in your presence. We love you and thank you. Amen. Hey, 192. Do you have a particular hymn? Chris, whether it's Christmassy or whether it's just the same as the rest, just the usual, just let us know and I'd be more than happy to sing with you this evening.
Consumed with sinners, lost and poor of pain. continue reading from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had an eagle's wing. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of fire. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night vision. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong and exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth to devour and break in pieces and stamp the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts and were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and then, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, it, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels of burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them, and stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall ride out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. The ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sins of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time that the times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it upon unto the end. And the kingdom of dominions and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognizations much troubled me, and my countenance changed me in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Amen.
So much in there, some good reading. Along with that would be Revelation 17 and 18, and of course the rest of Daniel. That is a slightly expanded view of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the five world kingdoms and the kingdom of God expanding to fill the whole world. It's definitely worth a reading. Appreciate that, Norman. Thank you. Amen. Does anybody have any prayer requests for this evening? Well, not necessarily for this evening, but does anybody have any prayer requests that you would like me to make a note of for this evening? Please pray for Colin. I had word from him. Everything seems to be going okay. There's no mention of when he'll be getting back, although he's trying to get out of Ukraine. So please do pray for his life to be spared. Please pray for Ed Bishop, who's going for cancer surgery tomorrow morning. I think it's at 7:30 or 8:00.
He has to be there at half seven.
He has a cancerous lump in his bile. They're going in with one of those wee things in the tube. They're going to nip it out and cauterize it as they go. So please do pray for Ed and his wife, Joan, and their children. There'll be a lot of people praying all around the world. I appreciate whatever was done for me. If anything ever happens to you, you know you're prayed for in this church at the very, very least, and possibly even other churches around the world. So please do pray for that. Other than that, continue to pray for Israel. Don't forget each other. I know we all have things that we only talk to God about. God knows what they are. Please, that's called your private prayer requests, and those are prayed for too. Other than that, it's Christmas. Keep your head screwed on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Crazy things are going on in the world, but thankfully Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Are you all good? Okay, that's fine. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done for us and for bringing us to this point in 2023. I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us. I pray you, Father, and thank you for all that you've seen us through. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to minister to the souls in Cluny Church of Ireland, or All Saints in Cluny today, Lord. And I pray you there for the saving of Kate's family and acquaintances, Lord. What a great opportunity, and so many lost souls, but Lord, such an untapped resource, an unreaped field, Lord. Please, please use the scriptures, Lord, and the gospel, and even a bit of a hymn or a carol to speak to souls, Lord, to put the bits together in their hearts. Please give them peace. I pray for our family, for this time, Lord, that they would be open to hearing the gospel. I pray, Lord, for other souls, Lord, and that have lost loved ones that are still missing them, Lord. I pray for comfort and strength. And even now, Lord, to think more carefully upon you, for our friends that don't yet know you, I think especially on Paddy and Claire, and Ollie and Emma, for their salvation, the folks on the road, Lord, the people that have received gospel tracts or heard a word of the scriptures, Lord, please save souls. And please bless those, Lord, that are putting their best foot forward, pointing folks to the foot of the cross. We really do need it, Lord, especially as these days go darker and darker. And we trust and pray, Lord, that you wouldn't be done with us, that you would take and use us. And Lord, whenever you do need us, that you would find us well. Thank you for loving us. Please bless us all, Lord. And we're just glad to be able to be here, Lord, and spend this time in your presence. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. Right. Anybody else got a hymn that they'd like for us all to sing?
281.
281 individual. 281 in the red book, or blue book, if that's the one that's sitting in front of you. It's the big, it's the thick one anyway. 281. Amen. Ask me now, O gentle Savior, yes and pray. Good.
Thank you.
21 verses. Reading this portion of God's word this morning at Kate's funeral, and even as I was reading it and bringing a few thoughts, I thought of a bunch of other stuff and just thought, you know what, that's something to consider. It says, the title for the message is, Don't Be Afraid to Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Let's read this portion of God's word. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Amen. That is our Bible reading. We're just taking all of that this evening. And I want to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Amen. Just pray the Lord look down on us and comfort us and give us the wisdom that everybody needs whenever they hear one of my sermons. Yeah. You may have not noticed that there were a bunch of questions being asked as we open this portion of God's Word. Back in the day, when people met, especially in quotes important or well-educated people, they would tend to give what they called a pedigree. They would give a list of their qualifications or the things that made them important. And here we have Nicodemus acknowledging Christ's qualifications. And he says, and first of all, you need to know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, not during the daytime when everyone could see, because he was obviously, if they were planning to kill Jesus a dozen times during his 3 years of ministry, they certainly had no problem going after his followers as well. But this is what Nicodemus says. He says, Jesus calls him Rabbi, first of all, which is acknowledging him as a teacher. We know that thou art come from God. He acknowledges his power. And he acknowledges his heritage. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Your heritage, your power, and your knowledge. The things that you do, the fact that you're from God, and that you're a great teacher. To the Pharisees and the scribes, those things were important. Jesus shows us what's really important in the very next paragraph, the next verse. He says, Nicodemus, except the man be born again, will not even see the kingdom of heaven. That is what's important. Jesus answers his first question before he even knows he's asked it, and reminds him that qualifications, nice to have in the world, power or influence, nice to have in the world, having a good family and people to support you, or a good back and a good foundation, it's nice to have in the world. But in the endless ages of eternity, the only thing that's important is that your soul is saved. That is what's important. It will affect your whole life from here on out. Just like most people, Nicodemus, and he's an older man, bear that in mind, he's a master of Israel, the Lord calls him. Says, how exactly does that work? How do you be born again? Do you go into your mummy's tummy again? Like, this was not a new concept, new phrasing certainly, but not a new concept. And Jesus says, you have to be born once into this world, the water birth, born of the water. And then, if you're looking at your Bible in red, it should say capital S, and then born of the Spirit. In other words, born of God. And without that, you can't get into heaven. Now, we'll come back to that in just a little bit. What the Lord goes on to say is just like your physical birth, where you're completely dependent upon your mother, even for the oxygen that circulates around your body when you're in her tummy. But there comes a time whenever you're separated from her, because you've gone as far as you can go, and you come to a point where you need to be separated from your mother, taking on more food, exercising your muscles, and growing. Your body literally demands to do those things. And it's like the spiritual birth, where you begin totally dependent upon the world because you don't know anything else. But there comes a time, if you start asking questions, if you think for yourself, you will, of course, become separated from it when you trust Christ as your Savior in repentance, turning away from the world, turning to Christ, learning and growing and consuming God's word and standing on your own two feet, born again as a child of God. Born the first time as a child of your mother and your father, born again as a child of God. And I am sure as he was reading this, saying this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus must have made a face because Jesus says, he's probably going like, because Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And he likens it to the wind. We can certainly feel the wind. You only have to step outside and you feel it. If you're standing the wrong way and the rain's in it, you'll get all wet. And Jesus says, the Spirit, or everyone that is born of the Spirit, is a bit like that, as far as the world's concerned. You can feel their influence, their presence, whenever they're about you, but you don't know what they're about. You don't know the God that sent them, and you don't know where to you, across your path, and you don't know where they're going afterwards. And Nicodemus, he asks another question. How can these things be? How does that all work? And if we were to look, we have verses 10 right the way through to verses 21 of a long explanation. But the first thing that Jesus says to him, you're supposed to be a leader in the Jews. Why is it you don't know these things? Here you stand as a man that's supposed to be guiding the Jewish people to God, and you don't know anything about the change that God makes in a person whenever you invite them in. First of all, God says to him, you need to realize that everybody on this earth is condemned, except for those that will never, never have the ability to understand wrong from right. Everybody's condemned, Jesus said. In fact, some people are condemned and are happy to be condemned, and some people are condemned and want to be saved. Jesus says you need to realize that the Lord, the Messiah, has come to save you from all of that. You also need to realize, as he says in verse number 13, no man can go up to heaven by themselves except the Son of Man. You can't save yourself. It's beyond yours and my ability. Jesus, remember when Jesus said, with man these things are impossible, but with God all things are impossible, whenever he was asked who then can be saved. You can't save yourself. But you have a loving God. A loving God that has provided his salvation. And he gives the example that was mentioned way, way back in the book of the books of the law, Exodus, where the time where the children of Israel were doing what the children of Israel did best and what a whole lot of people seemed to have mastered over the thousands of years, they were whining and groaning. And the Lord had had enough, and he said to Moses, Moses, make a brass serpent, put it on the end of a stick, and get ready to fire it up into the air when I tell you. Because I'm going to send a plague of serpents. And these serpents are going to bite all the moaners and the complainers. And they'll kill them. Unless they turn around and look at the serpent up in the pole. And that's exactly what happened. And do you know what the Bible records? Everyone that believed, even though they had whined and complained, everyone that believed what Moses said, after they were bitten by the serpent, looked around to the serpent in the middle of the camp, was saved. And everyone that rejected it wasn't. Now, let's be honest. If you were bitten by a poisonous serpent and I said, look guys, the Lord talked to me earlier on today and he told me if I make this brass serpent and put it in a brush shaft and hold it at the front of the church, if you look at it, you'll be saved. God will just take the poison out of your bloodstream. You might be thinking here, well, maybe not. But if God walked before me with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, you might be thinking, there might be something to what he says. So, if you were bitten and you can feel the venom creeping up your legs and you can feel the burn and your heart starts to go into palpitations, Because some snakes have different types of poison. Some of them are like nerve poisons nearly. And anyway, you would have to be a real idiot not to look at the serpent on the pole. Because it's not going to cost you anything, whether it kills you or not. It's not going to cost you anything to look at it, is it? All you have to do is turn your neck and look. That's it. And this is exactly the way it is for salvation. It was exactly the same in Noah's day. The Word of God records that the ark, the door of the ark was left open for 3 more days. All that one guy had to say was, for all the people that were mocking and pointing the finger, I'm just going to have a look in there. And I'm going to sit and have a chat with Noah for a few days. That's all he had to do. And they might have taken a hand out of him for a bit. But guess what? He would have been saved. It's all it takes. It's so simple to be saved. The Lord goes on to qualify the answers. He says, you have a foundation. And the foundation for this salvation is God's love for His creation. His creation, you and me, has a great need of salvation. But it gets better than that, because God has even provided that salvation. It says in the most famous verse of Scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have, and that means right now, everlasting life. God provided that salvation. God is paying the price for it all. The only thing we have to do is admit we're wrong. Sometimes that can be the hardest thing, and that it is an interesting point to note that that is one of the things that is taught or learned by many people, that their truth is the most important thing, that they're never wrong. The Bible goes on to record, as we've already mentioned, some people be glad of this. I don't know how it was before you got saved, but I was under great conviction of sin. I would have these things mulling around in my head. See, the thing about it is, when you read the Scriptures, they start to work on you. If you want to be a better person, if you want to be all that you can be, read the Scriptures. Let them work upon you. Let them tell you what's right and what's wrong in your life, and they will. Jesus said, how do you be born again? You need to realize you're a sinner. And that sinners are on their way to a sinner's hell. But if you turn to Christ, repenting of your sins, and trusting Him as your Savior, you'll be saved. And what do we always do? Well, what's in box number two, Lord? This is what's in box number two. Some will be so glad to remove the conviction of sin the right way, the proper way. Others will try, will reject God's solution, and they will try other solutions. They will try and blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They will do it with drink, alcohol, the thrills. I don't know. Think of 100 different things that people do in this world, or that they have Facebook pages for, and people are spending so much time on that, they have no time to think about sin and judgment to come. Some people will never go to God and say, well, God, I know I'm wrong. I am a sinner. Would you please save me? Some people never do that because they're pride. And the thing about it is, they're not saying it to anybody else, and no one is going to point a finger at them. Even God is not going to point a finger at you. God is not going to go like that, you're a filthy, rotten sinner, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows. God doesn't do that. He opens His hands wide and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I will tell you how important that is. John the Baptist was, from the words of God Almighty, was the greatest of all men. But you know what Jesus said? Even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist never had to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil to get saved. And even the worst, most backslidden Christian overcame what the world said, overcame their feelings, and overcame the temptations of the devil, even if it was only for a minute, to repent to God and ask Him to save their soul. That's a big thing. But it's between you and God, not between you and anybody else. A lot of people try a lot of stuff. A lot of people be looking to Christmas as some measure of peace or some object, some goal in their lives that's going to magically take away a lot of their troubles. I'll tell you what, it'll magically add to them come the end of January when the credit card bills come in. The Bible says if you scoot on to the very end of John, he that believeth in the Son, capital S, the Son of God, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth with him. Can you imagine the wrath of God getting into the shower with you in the morning? The wrath of God standing beside you whilst you're shaving your face. Can you imagine the wrath of God right there on the edge of the bed with you when you're pulling your socks on? Or hopping in under the quilt with you whenever you go to your bed at night. All because you have said no continually to God. The wrath of God sliding into the seat before you do when you sit at your desk. The wrath of God making itself comfy on the couch beside you when you watch the TV. For every single soul that for some convoluted reason in their minds that literally can't admit that they're wrong and God is right, the wrath of God is as close to them as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother is to those that love Christ as their Savior. These portions of God's word are well worth a read, because there is no other record of any conversation with Nicodemus. But the fact that the Lord laid it out and said, look, I am not come to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. I'm here to save people out of it. The world is condemned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 53 it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Christ is here to save us. We're drowning in a sea of sin, and Christ is on the lifeboat, the speedboat, or the helicopter. He is here to save us. And there's enough there to save a soul. It's worth a read at and worth being familiar with that portion of God's word. Some people will believe you. You know, like Jesus said there, I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How do you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Some people will believe you because their souls are desperately crying out for what you have. Don't be afraid to tell them. And some people won't believe you. It might be a case of, it's the first time they ever heard it. You think of Nicodemus, a man raised up to be one of the ruling elite in Israel. He hadn't a clue. He had not one single clue. But there was enough in this conversation to turn Nicodemus from one of those men that plotted with against Jesus, that plotted with Pilate, that plotted with Herod, to get Jesus nailed to a cross, to get him put to death, that and whenever the Lord went up to heaven and the word was left with the apostles to spread on, and plotted and plotted and plotted, and found a great commonality with the Herods and with even the Caesars in persecuting and killing Christians, there was enough here that Nicodemus got saved. Because he dared to ask questions. And the thing about it is, if someone really cares about you and wants the best for you, you can ask them questions. I don't know if you ever came across little children. Why? They're going in their information gathering stage. Why is that, Daddy? Why is that, Mummy? Why is that, Uncle Mark? Why is that, Uncle John? Auntie Monica? Uncle Norman? Why is that? And you just had enough. You're being asked to explain life, the universe, and everything to a 3 or a 4 year old who's just figuring out how to open car doors or put their fingers in the wee sockets in the walls. And why not? Why should I not do that, Daddy? And you say, because the top of your little finger will burn away and the doctor will have to come and cut it off. Oh, right, I won't do that, Daddy. Or whatever. If someone asks you why, and it's about God, that's a big deal for them. They are trusting you enough to give them the words of everlasting life. So tell them. By the same token, if they're not afraid to ask, don't you be afraid to speak. That was one of the, we'll call it the key operations of the way I worked in Desmond. Whenever I got saved, people obviously knew there was a bit of a difference in me. And people would ask me questions. I would never preach unless they asked me why. And then I would tell them. It was enough to change Nicodemus from one of those ones that plotted and would have killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a man that came humbly with a 100-pound weight of aloes to anoint his dead body. And you don't do that for someone you hate. You do that for someone you love. Nicodemus got saved. Now I can guarantee you one thing tonight, 2,000 years later, he never regretted it. Not even once. Whenever he closed his eyes in this world and opened them in the next, he never regretted it. But I'll tell you something else. Every soul that has rejected Jesus Christ, first of all, they have to work very hard to appear happy in this world. And they have to spend lots of money to appear happy in this world. And they have to change the law. So if the law says that they're being happy when they do all these things in this world, every single one will be dead approximately 1 second before they regret rejecting every single invitation by God and by those that love God and them to accept Christ as their Savior. And I wouldn't want that for anybody. Ask questions. When the book of Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will enter in and I will sup with him and he will sup with me. You know, we'll sit down around the table and we'll chat. Way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 1:18. God said to Isaiah to pass on to the people, come let us reason together. Though your sins be red like crimson, I will make them like wool. Will they be like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Let us reason together. And so we should. Don't ever be afraid to ask a question. You might need to have a good pair of running shoes on, but don't ever be afraid to ask questions. When the BBC News says, for instance, government has made it illegal for men to marry women anymore. Men have to marry men and women have to marry women. He said, but hold on a wee second. If we do that, the human race will die out in about 2 generations. There'll be nobody left. Don't be afraid to ask the obvious question. Especially when it comes to your eternity. That is just the first step in the rest of your eternal life. Not what it says. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's what God has for you and I. And I wouldn't want any of us to lose an argument or to lose something in this life for the lack of knowing what the Bible says. Make sure you're well read and prayed up. Talk to the Lord every day and ask him for his plans for you. And if it would be at all possible, to use you, because it is one of the greatest joys that you will ever have, next to being saved, is serving the Lord God Almighty. He loves you to bits. He really does. And he has got a bunch of gifts that will make Santa Claus look like the charity store. And all for his children. Don't forget those. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. Well, I guess we have one slot open for a hymn. Will we sing something that's Christmassy? Pardon? Seeing as you're the only lady here tonight, Mrs. Bradfield, not that I'm biased or anything, would you like to choose the closing hymn for us?
Yes. You want it out of the black book?
I don't mind.
Well, then thou didst lead thy throne in the big book.
Right. Thou didst lead thy throne in the big book, a special prize to the person that finds it before me. 422. There you go. I'll give myself a big hug. 422. Let's stand and sing. Thou didst lead life. Amen. Be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength and this opportunity to be in your house. Pray for Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank. I pray for safety in Switzerland and during their travels, for Colin too, likewise for his travels home, if indeed he's coming home. For Will and Christine and Mary and for Pat and Steve, Lord, especially for Steve's health at this time, for Norman, for John, for Monica and myself. Please bless us, Lord, and let us, I know we consider this time of year, Lord, as your time of year, but help us to point souls to the foot of the cross before it's everlasting to you, Father. Bless us as we go our separate ways, and we look forward to being back the next appointed time, and we love you and praise you, Father. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Take hands. Fellowship for a bit. Amen.